Thank you all for coming. On March 30 this year, I made it clear publicly that our industry needed to review our illicit drugs policy. I said at the time that the research had suggested our policy was not working and it should be changed. It is what I want, it's what the clubs want, that's what the Players Association wants. I also said that we need to get the balance right between players' rights and their responsibilities. But today, we need to focus on the player who is on the front page of the paper and who needs the support of our industry. His welfare is our major concern today. We can't say that we care about making a difference in players' lives and turn away when there is pressure. Secondly, I want to say this about the Gold Coast Suns. They are facing big challenges. I know it, and they know it. They are challenges that many of our most successful and our oldest clubs have faced. This club will get through the challenges, and they will be stronger for it. I have confidence in the club, in their playing list, and where they are in the market. I want to reiterate the welfare of the player today is our major concern and this is our priority. Questions?
Is it appropriate to put somebody on the front page of the newspaper in that sort of position?
I don't want to comment on that. What I want to do say is that I think it increases the vulnerability of a young man we know has had significant challenges, and it means that more than ever it's been our priority, but his welfare is incredibly important and our focus.
You'll demonstrate that perhaps illicit drugs are a big issue, and perhaps you even estimated quite forthrightly at the start of the year?
I don't think it does. I think it's an illustration today. It's the same issue, it's just quite graphic, and it's, I guess, unprecedented for today to have a photo like that. But, you know, as we said on March 30, this issue has pockets in our playing group, less than in society, but there are pockets of them that are facing challenges. And our policy was right 10 years ago, but I'm not sure that it is going forward. And we've been reviewing it for many weeks, and we'll have a new policy in place for the start of the off-season this year.
Is that soon enough?
Today, I don't think changes anything. You know, we are aware of the challenges. We called them out many months ago, and we're working through the right process. We've got a working group with the Players Association on it, the clubs, all the appropriate representatives, working through a process. There's been a lot of discussions held. They've made significant progress, and the timetable, as announced, which is a new policy for the off-season, you know, this year is the right one.
I'm wondering about players' best interests in mind today. There's been some commentary this week that in some respects the players are better off doing drugs than drinking, for example. Would it be fair to say under the new policy it'll be more onerous on the players to avoid circumstances like this? There'll be more punishment, if you like.
The policy has to balance up, as I said, the rights of the players and their welfare, and understand that young men, often with you know, have had challenges for a long time, but also just young men, with naive young men coming to our system, and their welfare and their education, has to balance that with the responsibilities and accountabilities to our industry, to our clubs and to our supporters. And getting that balance is challenging. You know, we've said many months ago we think the policy has room for improvement to get a greater level of accountability into the system, but it's got to get the balance right. I think what I can say is that it probably needs to be that every strike has an action or an accountability point. That doesn't mean that it's zero tolerance. You know, this is a delicate balance.
Should the clubs get better visibility on these issues at an earlier stage to allow them to intervene?
That's part of the discussion. I don't want to foreshadow where the working group's going to end up. There's lots of different perspectives. The clubs have got perspectives, the players have got perspectives. I think there's a broad acknowledgement by everyone agreeing to review it, including the Players Association, that the balance is not there between welfare and accountability, and where they end up we'll see in the coming weeks and months.
Gil, what's your understanding of how Harvey Mellon's been affected by this story?
Listen, I think everyone in this room knows Harley's story. He's had an incredibly tough background. I think his story is well known. I'm not going to elaborate it today. You know, the club has been working closely with Harley for a couple of years. His challenges are known to the club, and I think broadly known. But what he also is a tough, resilient kid, as I understand. And, you know, the club are ensuring that he has the right people around him to deal with today and to deal with his challenges ongoing.
What's the sanction? What sanction will be placed on him, and will the AFL be a part of any sanction if one does come?
The club will work through that. And, you know, we'll obviously have discussions with him. Again, it's this balance between him being accountable for his actions and being aware and being responsible to his fellow players, to the football club, to their supporters, to our industry. Balancing that with the welfare needs of, in this case, an individual who's had a terribly tough upbringing and faced more challenges than probably all of us in this room have collectively. So getting that right balance is something that requires some nuance and a level of discussion and dialogue between people who understand all of the facts and get to the right decision.
Praise for the role he's had in taking Harley Bernal under his wing and trying to guide him through some of those challenges in the past couple of years. In hindsight, was he probably not the right person to be doing that?
I don't think it's as simple as that. I think, you know, we're all flawed, but I don't think that you can diminish the fact that Carmichael was instrumental in working through a number of Harley's challenges with him and helping him. Now, it doesn't mean that there wasn't some other aspects that seemingly from the outside, you know, have some negative aspects as well. But I don't know the full detail of all of that. But I think the role he's played in Harley's life is well known, and he's provided leadership in a lot of areas, maybe not all areas.
Given the events of the week, there is a cultural problem at the Gold Coast Suns?
I think this club's facing some challenges. They're the same challenges that many, in fact, potentially all of our clubs, have faced to greater or lesser extent. Now, the scale of that is being worked through. They are not new challenges. This club has known it's had some challenges for some time, and they will continue to work through them, and I'm confident they will.
I think the players would prefer the current statistics in terms of positive tests not to be published as part of the negotiations for the new package. Should the public have better visibility this season on the size of this problem, would that help the understanding in that regard? Are you disappointed with the Players Association's position?
No, I think it's a mature discussion going on. I actually think the Players Association, when I tabled this in late March, have been really sensible partners in this. And I don't think they've pushed back in an inappropriate way in any of the discussions. It's about finding a balance. So I actually commend the Players Association for being open for the review and understanding the challenges the players are facing and being up for a discussion. Now, everyone will have different views on that. Where we land on that, Tom, will be part of the discussion. I'm not sure that it helps the public to know the numbers. We've been trying to be as transparent as we can historically. There's a lot of different views. In the end, we hope we'll get to a better policy to take us forward.
Yes, I can't mind. About the transition between codes and how much of a struggle that was for him, and that might have led him down a certain path. Do you think it was a mistake for the AFL to go up and come one more time, in hindsight?
No, it's obviously brought challenges, but this is a start-up club in virgin AFL territory, and it's easy to look through the lens of the last weeks and months to make that assessment. But he was a formidable brand that gave traction to this club, provide leadership in various forms to a number of young players. So I don't know that it, you can, you know, I don't think that's right to characterise it as a mistake, but obviously his legacy has been tarnished in recent months.
You're right or wrong if people say it's the AFL's department, it's a lot of man hours. Travis Holt particularly did a lot of work, invested tens of millions of dollars. Are you surprised 5 or 6 years down the track through that methodical investment that you find yourself with a cultural problem at that club?
I'm disappointed that we're here today, we've had the week, the months we've had, but there's been extraordinary progress as well. You know, these stories of start-up clubs are not linear journeys. There's lumps and swings and roundabouts. I think if we sat here at the start of the season, you know, every club was talking about the fact that they were a top four, top six club and what a powerhouse story they were. They're having their challenges at the moment, like every club in our country, club has had, whether they're 140 years old or 20 years old. Everyone has them, Tom, and it's how you respond to them that is ultimately the proof of where this club goes. So they're having their challenges at the moment, but you know, this is a club that's made great traction in the community, got a very talented list, and they'll work through these challenges now.
Could Harley play this weekend?
I don't think Harley will be playing this weekend. The club, I think, are working through that, but I think it's unlikely.
How much faith do you have in Thompson?
Andrew Travis is an emerging young leader. I've got great confidence in him. I've got great confidence in Rodney Eade as a coach, very experienced, and they'll work through that. We'll play the role we need to support them in every area. Mark Evans has been up there the last couple of days working with their football department. We'll work to provide the level of support they need from us, like we do with all clubs who face speed humps and forks in the road and challenges, and they'll get through this.
You were talking about the thing more broadly about the drugs issue. I mean, the AFL has improved its premium on player welfare, harm minimisation. Does the organisation or yourself have a view on whether it's time the law actually reflected that as well?
That's a great question. It's probably too deep and too broad for me to answer now, but you know, you get very divided views and you get black and white views on this issue. If you speak to the police, if you speak to drug experts, if you take the broad ranging views that we did in formulating the policy, you get a divergence of views. This is just a really difficult problem. It's obviously, you know, a challenge for all parents, for society. You know, it's a challenge for our industry and for our clubs. And we need to continue to speak to all people with informed views and different perspectives to get the right policy for us.
Your view, feel players are prepared to run the gauntlet because there's a three strike and therefore there needs to be some stricter deterrence in this next policy?
The vast majority of our players are great role models who this policy is relevant to because they don't dabble in this area. We had a policy set in place, voluntary process, well ahead of any other sport, put in place 10 years ago that reflected the industry at the time, the fact that it was new, and all of the issues and the considerations I talked to before. As I said on March 30, though, I do think now there need to be greater accountability in the policy and that the welfare model is still a priority, but it also needs to be balanced with an accountability of the industry. And we need to work through that to get the right level of accountability.
Is there thought of some sort of amnesty for the next few months or some sort of amnesty for players to come forward and just to say, look, we want to get an idea of exactly what's going on rather than punishing them straight away?
I don't think there's been discussion about an amnesty, but mature discussions and engaged, involved discussions with the players and the playing group is what's required. It's always been that. This is not a sort of a, you know, black and white issue. These are challenging issues. Parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents are dealing with them every day. And this is no different other than the scrutiny that these players face and the fact they have got broader responsibilities to our club, to their clubs, to our industry, to our supporters. So, you know, they face different levels of responsibility to the average person. We accept that. And, you know, we're having mature discussions with the Players Association, with the clubs, and ultimately with the players about that, and hopefully we're going to get the right balance.
Does Carmichael Hunt have an obligation to the AFL and the Suns to help them get to the bottom of this problem?
I think that Carmichael's got his own challenges. He's had his time in our industry and at the Gold Coast Footy Club. I think that ultimately we need to work with the Gold Coast Suns and their playing group to get the culture of this footy club right and to move forward with the right policy settings for the industry generally.
There's a fact deal with clubs have been kicked out of these matters until late in the process under the current system. Has that made it harder for the Gold Coast players to have, I suppose, honest conversations with the club about, you know, their involvement in some of these matters?
Well, I think the policy is like that because they wanted players to be able to have honest conversations with the medical staff and what was viewed as, you know, the appropriate people to be having the discussions with about their challenges, about the issues confronting them. So, you know, that's part of the discussion we're having with the clubs, the Players Association, with all the relevant people about what's the right settings going forward. And what I would say is this, that I do think that our clubs are in a much better place now and have had a much broader and more mature perspective about these issues to be able to have discussions earlier in the process. I think the clubs are in a much better position to be able to have that than they were 10 years ago.
When you see photos of a player on the front page, do you feel that there's a danger of whipping up a bit of public hysteria about this? I mean, in the end, illicit drugs are common in our society. They're not performance-enhancing drugs. Is there a danger that this is being blown out of proportion?
I think that there's a level of hysteria that is perpetuated by something like this. But, you know, there is different views on this issue. We need, ultimately, you know, today's is a photo. The issue is the same as it was 3 months ago. It's the same as it was 6 months ago. The same as it was 12 months ago. We need to get the right policy settings that balance the welfare issues of the players, helping them with, you know, the responsibilities they have to our industry. And that's, you know, today is no different really to yesterday, other than probably, as you say, a sort of much more public image.
But does today's deal make reform and the need for it perhaps more urgent in that respect? Will this give you renewed impetus and priority around fixing this before the start of the pre-season, which you mentioned earlier?
It doesn't to me, Tom. It's been a priority for some months. You know, there wasn't this hysteria and this level of media scrutiny when we announced the fact that we thought that the settings weren't working in March. So it's I'm not trying to underplay it or overplay it. This is a priority for our industry to review it. We've been embarked on this course some months ago and we'll get the right settings to reflect the issue as it is now in 2015.
Did you
surprise
this morning, or was it something that you saw as only a matter of time,
no matter who
the actual player
was? I was disappointed, obviously, but you know, when the statistics say that there are players, you know, are getting strikes, then there is always a possibility that there would be some photograph of that out there. So I'm disappointed. I accept that there was always a possibility.
Well, that's three more questions.
I didn't see what happened then. I'm sure that the right guys in our organisation will be having the appropriate discussions about whatever the issue is.
The new policy includes sanctions for a first strike, or is that too much of a dramatic shift from the current policy?
I don't know that there would be sanctions per se, but I think it needs to be action, if that makes sense. I think there has to be a consequence and a movement at each level. That doesn't mean sanctions, but I think there has to be an action point or a trigger with each strike. Yeah, I only just heard about that when I came, just before I came down. I don't have the full details, but obviously it's terribly concerning, and I hope that everything is as well as it can be. I don't have the details, yes. I just don't have enough information, Thomas. All I know is we had a melanoma removed. I'm not sure the extent of it. You know, these things can, there's a broad spectrum of what this can mean. So I'll get more information and we'll have a broader response as appropriate.